That is adding to my stress, and I'm so glad that you brought it.
Mine too.
Yes, because that leads into, you had a great program last week, and I think a client kind of asked for some personal development
One of our board members was at our last client event, and he said, you know, I'm really into longevity and brain health and productivity, and I think a lot of people are into that too. And you know, if you do all that right, that's profitable. Mm-hmm. That's profitable for business and profitable for people, even their family mission, right?
Yeah. So last week you invited to speak a noted author and health and performance consultant, and she's been noted in Fortune magazine, one of the most powerful women in business summit, the ESPN, all on and on and on. She's written a book, The Sharp Solution: A Brain-Based Approach for Optimal Performance.
She's written many books, right? You know, I've got them here.
And then and then Stressaholic, this is 5 steps to transform your relationship with stress. And she was just terrific last week working on Alzheimer's and challenged athletes. But Dr. Heidi Hanna, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. And I am thoroughly stressed out now. Thank you. I felt good coming in and I feel worse leaving.
Pressure's on now.
So companies and events hire you to help address our stress and brain health. And what are some easy steps we can follow?
Well, first thing is to breathe. Turn off the noise. So as I'm listening to all of this, I'm thinking, you know, it's a pretty good day so far. I got up, went to the gym, had a healthy breakfast.
And got through a few emails. So.
You know, it was a normal day. And then it was cyber attacks, politics, terrorism.
Photo of my wife in the men's room.
That's right. That was stressful.
You're right. Step one, turn it off at some
point.
You got
to shut off the noise. Yeah. Now, I feel bad saying that on a radio program.
No.
Obviously, there's good noise.
This is good information, though. Yeah.
The reality of the situation is obviously stress is inevitable. Mm-hmm. But what I have discovered really a lot through my own personal experience is that it's so dependent on the brain state that you're in, that we really have a lot more control than we think about how our brain performs, or about how we perceive the world around us, and even about how our brain ages. So, you know, I'm listening to all of this, thinking back kind of on my journey to get to this point. And really what started me along these lines was my own broken brain. I was diagnosed at 12 with panic disorder. And when I would get stressed out, I would actually faint. And people would say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. And then they'd pick me up off the floor and I'd say, told you so.
Anxiety attack?
Anxiety. Yeah, it was panic attacks, but it's a little bit different. It wasn't until actually last year that I finally realized it's something called vasovagal syndrome. So where most people get stressed and their blood vessels constrict, mine dilate, blood pools to my feet, and I take a nap. But the reason I say that is because knowing this, growing up this way, I was also a high performer. I was on a college softball scholarship and did well in school and able to do a lot of things successfully, but yet I still struggled with this anxiety. So it was weird to be very intelligent and yet have a difficult time managing something as simple as stress. So I had to figure it out.
Well, good. Well, we have to take a break right now. We'll come back and solve a lot of these stress issues with Heidi Hanna and Sean Puckett right after this. Hang on. We're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is a time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
A big thank you to our sponsors, as always, UBS, Michael Caranta, and Drew Freitas. Could not do this show without Michael and Drew from UBS, so big thank you there. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, we've got two of them. Jason Kruger, CPA with Signature Analytics, a great CFO firm, about 5 offices here across the West Coast. Also, our more traditional CPAs, Polito Epic up in San Marcos, Paul Polito and Don Epic. Also, Joel Gruskin, Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. If you want to talk about making money, we also have Berkeley Research Group with Carl Scheeler, helping business owners identify the risks that drive the values of those businesses. If you reduce risk, you increase value. Also, Brenda Geiger Law Office, specializing in estate planning and asset protection. Obviously, this week's guest, if you need a place to put all that money that Carl and Joel and Brenda make for you, California Republic Bank. And we also have Hub International, who, by the way, was the other speaker at the Thursday night event with Heidi Hanna, Lane Caruso joining in with that great presentation. Mm-hmm. Paul Hines, CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management. And Paul, of course, heads up the SeniorSafeAndSound.org initiative here in San Diego, helping to prevent elder financial abuse. We also have the LG Experience and the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Our latest sponsor, Nathan Watkins, with Worldwide Credit, an absolutely amazing mortgage brokerage expert. And of course, Joe, if you want to talk about great food, we got a couple of choices there too, don't we?
Absolutely. The Berry Good Food Foundation, Michelle Lirak's a great group, and we'll be broadcasting from her 7th annual dinner again in June, and best of luck to her on all that. And also, Lestat's Coffee House, open 24/7, 365, about to open their third great location at, I believe, 1045 University. Give them about a month and a half, and they'll have another great venue there.
That will be cool.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more about our sponsors, just get over to iymoney.com, and there's a sponsor tab across the top in a drop-down menu. You can click on any one or all of them. All their contact information is right there and background information, especially California Republic Bank and Sean Puckett. Mm-hmm. By the way, Richard, Courtney Lover, our great web designer, mm-hmm. she, if you wanted to see more about our awards, I asked her to put a little, because she has the medallions from the last 3 years at the top right of the page, but if you click on See Awards, it'll take you over to a page and you can see all the shows and all the awards. They're getting too numerous to mention.
7 first place San Diego Press Club Awards.
Yeah, and including the best we're the best talk/interview/call-in show, and you know we don't take that many calls. So the somebody was trying to make a statement, and good for them.
And good for us. Good for us. But Heidi Hannah, quick background on you. Born where? Went to school where? How'd you get into the business that you're in?
Yeah, so born and raised in Portland, Oregon.
Nice.
And got as far away from home and went to Penn State. Played for the softball team. I was a pitcher there. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster and then didn't want to do the time on the road. So ended up actually getting a master's in psychology and went into a private practice. And what I realized is that most of the people I was seeing who were really struggling with anxiety and depression had issues around nutrition and fitness. So I went back and got a PhD in holistic nutrition, became a personal trainer. And along the journey in studying energy management, I mentioned to you that I had the pleasure of training alongside Dr. Jim Lehrer, mm-hmm. Just fabulous, fabulous, groundbreaking research that we did on energy management, started off with athletes and then transitioned into the workplace. But I found myself actually struggling with the same thing in my clients, where I was on the road, I was burning out and breaking down. And it was during that time that my third grandparent was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And I actually, you and I were talking about this earlier, I stumbled across a book called Still Alice. And it shook me to my core because I was reading a story about a woman whose whole identity was based on her knowledge, and mm-hmm. it was taken away. Oh, it gives me goosebumps just mm-hmm. to talk about it now. And I started thinking, you know, if there's anything we can do about this disease, we got to figure it out. So I dove into the research, and I was really shocked to discover that there is so much that we can actually do to prevent or prolong the development of Alzheimer's and dementia. Mm-hmm. And it, in fact, it's about 80 to 90% in our control. And so I kind of stopped doing the work I was doing. I wrote the book, The Sharp Solution, really just to put that content into people's hands and make it really simple to understand that just like the body, the brain needs health and fitness, and it needs an intentional strategy to make sure that it stays sharp as we age. And mm-hmm. It's really become a passion project of mine.
Yeah.
I know the subtitle is A Brain-Based Approach for Optimal Performance.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, when they think about optimal performance, they don't really think about the brain. They think about what they eat, keeping their weight at a certain place.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Richard, because what are some foods we should intentionally try to eat more of and less of? Because I do think, obviously, that what we put in our bodies has to affect our overall health, brain, and everything else, right?
Absolutely. And to get back to the your question, to start with that, because I love that you said that, one of the things I always tell people is you've got to think about who you want to be before you think about what you have to do. The fact that most people get up and look at their to-do list before they think about the person that they want to be and how they want to show up and actually put themselves into the right brain state, they're just running into this amygdala hijack where they're putting out fires, they're in survival mode, they're in chronic stress. And we actually know that the very worst thing for the brain is this chronic, unrelenting stress, even worse than all the foods that we hear are toxic for us. Mm-hmm. But along those lines, even when it comes to nutrition, it's really not so much what you eat as it is how you eat. It's making sure you're eating something every 3 to 4 hours. The brain's primary responsibility is to make sure that we survive. Mm-hmm. And anytime we go longer than about 4 hours without eating, which most business professionals do every single day, we convince the brain that there is a food shortage. And that's the quickest way to actually trigger the stress response. Mm-hmm. That and not getting enough sleep. And I guarantee most of our clients, our shared clients, have a problem with not getting enough sleep.
Yeah, well, I mean, I in part blame, you know, the technological revolution,
sure.
Because we're constantly dialed in, texts, emails. I mean, I get phone calls saying, did you get my text from an hour ago?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like it's supposed to be an instantaneous thing. I mean, I know so many people they're just really tired. Mm-hmm.
People are tired, and there's a phenomenon happening right now. They're tired and wired at the same time because of that. And, you know, that's actually what led me to write the book Stressaholic, because I knowingly took time to take a vacation. I remember like it was yesterday, sitting in a hot tub, and this particular spa gave directions on the wall of like, sit in the hot tub for this amount of time and then go in the shower for this amount of time. And I thought, well, I can do that. And it only took about 30 seconds till I was literally craving working again. And it's not that I had to work. It's that I want to work. I love to work. It's the passion. It's the fire that we all have. And what people don't realize is that even passion costs energy. And if you're constantly spending energy without replenishing it, that's what freaks the brain out. It's just like your finances. You've got to be thinking about strategic energy management the same way you do how you're balancing your budget.
Well, I know that I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
I think that's why surfers surf like Sean. You get out there, it's totally quiet. It's a totally therapeutic experience, isn't it, Sean? I mean,
am I recharging my brain like a surf?
I'll write a note and sign it for you. Doctor's order, surf more.
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, I do the same with golf, and people laugh at me because I took up golf to understand my brain better. And just yesterday, I was just laughing at the fact that golf so mirrors life. If you think about how contagious it is, if you think about how confidence plays a role, I mean, there's just all of these pieces. And really, it's an example of what happens to the brain. Stress is contagious. You know, if you walk into a room and people are stressed out, you can feel it, and we can actually measure that now. So it's realizing that stress isn't a bad thing. In fact, stress breaks us down short term so that we can grow and become stronger, just like exercise, just like challenges. Well, but it's the unrelenting every day. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. Unfortunately, the cyber attacks, the I can't trust anybody, noise that's really literally killing brain cells.
Yeah, you got to talk to my mother about that.
but Heidi, I know, for example, if I make the mistake of checking email before going to bed, I don't really sleep that well that night.
Of no, you should. Not. You should. That's why Johnny Carson was so great. We got got a good laugh before. I
mean, yeah, exactly.
You know, but we're blessed that we live in a great part of the world where we can go to the beach for an hour and walk and just turn everything off. Last week, I was invited. Thank you, Lori Black, for inviting me on that. We went out sailing on a friend's boat, about eight people, a nice 36-foot boat, Captain Bob Nelson. You just get on in a boat, in a sailboat especially, and get out on the water, see the city from off of Point Loma there. I felt like I was on a week vacation when I got back there.
So Heidi, question: Can you
especially after the Bloody Mary?
can you train your brain to think differently than it thinks without you attempting to train it?
Well, that's an interesting question. So you can train your brain intentionally, or you can train it by accident. So every time that you swing through that fast food restaurant without thinking about it, you're training your brain to do that on automatic pilot. And one of the ways that the brain conserves energy is it keeps doing things the way we've always done them before. The thing that I find most fascinating is that the whole field of neuroplasticity, the fact that the brain is radically adaptable as long as we train it, means that every morning when you get up, if you can write down three things you're grateful for, if you can read something inspirational, or if you can do my favorite strategy, which is watch something funny, find something funny, share something funny, you shift your brain into a more optimal state that now sees the world around you as having the potential for abundance instead of getting stuck in survival mode.
Yes.
So that is strategic, intentional brain state training.
Yeah.
And it really works. We have an assessment now, an integrative neuroscience assessment that will actually show those brain patterns and how they change over
Great.
Time.
And we'll talk all about that assessment, humor, diet, and all that other good stuff with Dr. Heidi Hanna after this break. Hang on. We are back with Dr. Heidi Hanna. Sean had to get to a meeting, but so great to see you. That's the Avengers theme, by the way. You're too young to remember that, Heidi, I'll bet, right? You're too young to remember that. You don't know that show.
The Emma music Peel. Sounds familiar.
Emma Peel.
It's a long time ago, Joe.
Yes. But let's get into, want to talk about diet a little bit? Because, I mean, you said it doesn't matter what you, I avoid sugar. I don't think we should be eating any sugar. Mm-hmm. And Richard's all got his whole foundation going about helping kids. And I do think schools are getting a lot more aware. Have we finally banned soft drinks in schools yet? Because I hope we have.
Most have.
I mean, water. Let's get back to the water. And by the way, I just want to commend Michael Moore did a film called Where to Invade Next. Whatever you think of Michael Moore, I don't know. But he goes over to different countries in Europe, and one was France, and he goes into a grade school, and one of the classes is, actually eating, and they serve these kids lunch, and it's, I think it's like a 3 or 4 or 5 course meal, and they teach these kids how to eat with a knife and fork and a plate, and they're all drinking water. They wouldn't even drink the Coca-Cola, the soda. But anyway, there's a lot to be said for, you know, for diet and yeah, right. We shouldn't be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't mean to say that it doesn't matter. It certainly does matter. I mean, it's just that we tend to focus on the things that are less important.
Right.
And the most important thing is that consistency, that regulation. But you're absolutely right.
I mean,
processed sugar is absolutely toxic.
And caffeine, we're all addicted, and myself
absolutely
included.
And part of that's just we're so run down that we're looking for any sort of stimulation to keep our energy up during the day instead of getting the sleep we need, instead of disconnecting. Mm-hmm. And so with regard to the schools, it's interesting. I'm on the national board for an organization called Blessings in a Backpack, and I'm thrilled to share that we are actually raising money right now for an initiative where we are going to do brain-based foods in the schools. One of the challenges we've had is our budget is so low. We feed kids on about $2 a weekend. Mm. But one of the issues is that people see things like fruit juice, for example, as a positive, you know, because they're going to get the fruit they need. Fruit juice is just sugar, people.
Yeah.
You know, it's not better than having a soda, in fact.
Eat the whole orange.
You got to eat the whole thing. Yeah. And there's a lot of other things out there. So what we're trying to do now with this initiative is we're actually going to do some assessments ahead of time and look at what the food choices are that the kids are making both at school and at home. And by implementing an educational curriculum, which we're calling Beyond the Backpack, we're going to see if we can actually change the choices that they're making. And we're going to present it, instead of being the food pyramid, we're going to present it as a way to keep your brain healthy. And we're going to do that here in San Diego. So I'm really excited about that.
That's cool stuff. But hey, question about your book, Stressaholic.
Yeah.
That title suggests that stress is addictive. Am
I
right?
Yes, yes, yes. It absolutely is. And so here I was in that hot tub thinking about how much I wanted to go back to work. And when I forced myself to relax, I realized that there was actually like a detox process happening in my body. So I dug into the research. I'm a fellow with a group called the American Institute of Stress. And fascinatingly enough, there's tons of research showing that the neurochemicals that are released in the brain when we experience stress are just as addictive as sugar, cocaine, alcohol, the other things.
Stress junkie, from a
survival perspective. Mm. Your brain wants you to pay attention to what stresses you out. And so you get a release of this dopamine to make those pathways secure so that you remember next time.
Isn't that enough,
it becomes addictive.
Wow. So we've got to examine our trigger points and do an avoidance strategy, I guess.
It's like putting down the phone, you know, when you're checking that one last email in the evening. What we don't realize is that one last email gives us a hit, gives us a fix so that we can keep focusing on what's going to keep us awake. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. I had it last night. I had it this morning. I want to jump back to the computer, but we have to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. In fact, people think of discipline as going to work. And I would say being disciplined is actually taking a break. It is more difficult for people to slow down than to speed up.
Funny you should mention that, because in that film, they also go to Finland and they go into the schools and I guess the students there are performing just at a higher level than the U.S. students. And you know what their secret is? No homework. No.
That makes sense.
Isn't that crazy? They want them to play. They want them to get out there and have fun with their friends and do sports and none of this 3-4 hours of homework. And it makes sense. I mean, you should be able to learn everything you need, you know, in an 8-hour day.
Well, and you can think about your day as a series. This is one of the things I learned from Jim Lehrer. Think about your day as a series of sprints instead of a marathon. I do marathons too, so I love the marathon, but you can't see the finish line at the marathon. You actually have to conserve energy somewhat so that you can make it through the whole day, as opposed to seeing your day as a series of sprints. One of the first things I encourage business people to do is to see each hour as a 50-minute work hour. Therapists do it. Massage therapists do it. Counselors do it. The key is that we need transition time, not just physically to get from appointment to appointment, but mentally to complete what we have just finished and transition into the next thing, breathing our way through so that the brain is open and ready to absorb that new content.
And how about this myth of multitasking? Talk about adding to stress. I think the myth is, the more things I could do at once, the more productive I am. I think that's the exact opposite. We need to focus one task at a time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Multitasking is the enemy of extraordinary, and yet we crave it because it's the way we've trained our brains. It's not the way we're hardwired, by the way. We are hardwired to focus on one thing at a time, and scans show that the brain cannot focus on more than one thing at a time. So there's what's called a switch cost. Every time we have to switch what we're paying attention to, it wastes time, it wastes energy, and more dangerous is it increases the stress hormone cortisol, which has been shown to kill brain cells. So multitasking literally is killing us.
And I would be embarrassed to tell you you how many browser windows I have
I
open.
See you. I see you over there.
I am scrolling
See,
away.
Joe, I come in here without, for the record, right. I come in here without my iPad, and there's a reason for that.
Well, I have to get on Heidi
I'm
Hanna.
I'm here doing radio.
HeidiHanna.com. Okay. I had to be there for
So all of you who are wondering why I haven't responded to your 132 emails over the last 60 minutes, I'm doing radio right now.
So this Still Alice obviously made an impact on you, the book, then the film. I didn't see the film. Her personal life, is it, apparently she diagnosed herself in her 50s that she had, was that
So it turns out it was a fictional story, but it was written by someone who had a background in neuroscience. I actually thought as I was reading the book, it was a true story, and it was gut-wrenching because the character is a neuroscientist. And so as she's going through the process of experiencing this, she's actually recognizing what's happening to the point that she leaves a letter for herself for that time when she forgets too much. And there is a real life story very similar that I would encourage you to check out. It's Jill Bolte Taylor. Her book is called My Stroke of Insight, and she had a stroke, and because she is a neuroscientist, she literally knew which part of her brain was deteriorating. And she discusses her experience in the hospital. It was actually the left part of her brain that was damaged, and that's the more logical, analytical part of the brain. The right side was fully functioning, and what's so fascinating is that the right side of the brain picks up energy. And so she didn't know who people were, but she could feel their presence. And as she started to rehabilitate, she's become very passionate about teaching healthcare practitioners about how they show up for their patients. I have another very good friend, Beth Usher, who's in my humor association, who had a hemispherectomy, I believe it was, believe it or not, by Ben Carson, removed half of her brain. And yet she is the funniest, kindest, most loving person I've met because she's not overanalyzing everything. She just shows up and is fully herself. So obviously I'm not saying get rid of half of your brain. What I'm saying is we need to pay a little bit more attention to how we show up and the energy we bring to the space that we fill instead of just thinking, multitasking, being everywhere but here.
Now, neurogenesis, they discovered that we can grow brain cells, right?
Absolutely. And aerobic exercise is a good way to do that. That's one of the key ways. Meditation has shown to be helpful. Learning a new language.
Jogging.
Musical instruments.
Jogging helps, right? Yeah. I think it helps. Richard might overdo it a little bit. Richard, one more marathon, your brain's going to explode.
Well, you know, when I'm running,
I don't think
about anything when I run, which is why I like it. I don't think about anything.
You know what? It is therapy. And, right. and actually,
very meditative.
Doctor, I think it was his name was Dr. Kostrolaba or whatever. I read that book, and that actually helped me quit smoking when I took up jogging at the age of 22. So, you know, I do believe that, you know, when you jog, you do get the runner's high. And
there's no question. Heidi, how do people find you?
Well, people can find me on my website, which is under construction, but you can still find me there as we add all the new great stuff. HeidiHanna.com.
There you go. Heidi, and there's no H on the end there, folks. So, Heidi Hanna, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you,
really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean Puckett. Richard, great seeing you. And thank you to Mike Hansen, who for our board operator, for making it sound terrific. And next week is Brenda Geiger, I believe, right, Richard?
I believe that's correct.
There you go. So, but thank you to Mike. Thank you to Craig Blanke, our county executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. All these podcasts are commercial free on iymoney.com. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.